Thank you for tuning in to Emmanuel Faith Community Church. We hope you enjoy today's sermon.
Hello again, Emmanuel Faith. Good morning to those that are joining us online and my friends in the chapel. So good to proclaim the word of God with you this morning. It's a privilege. If you are visiting us for the first time, my name is Esteban Tapia. I want to say welcome. Welcome to Emmanuel Faith. Our goal is that you will feel at home, that you will feel embraced, that you will feel as if you have arrived. This is a place in which we worship our Lord Jesus. Today is going to be, as I mentioned, my joy and my pleasure. It's always an honor to share from God's word. So please open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. As we continue our study on the letter the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. I'm wondering if you are ready to listen from God's word. Are you ready? Yes. Okay, if you are ready, I'm ready as well. So let me start by saying this. It's always fun to ask little kids what they will like to be when they grow up. Some of them will stop and think for a minute and they will give you the most random response. But some others will give you the most absolute clear answer about what they will like to be in life. Some will say a firefighter, others a nurse, a teacher, an astronaut, and maybe a police officer as well. In my case, when I was a kid, I just wanted to be like my dad. My dad was a really cool guy. He had a lot of friends and he was really, really nice to me. Unfortunately, it didn't take long for me to realize that that wasn't like the greatest idea. Because when I was 6 or 7 years old, I started to notice some toxic behavior between my parents and their relationship. And as you can imagine, that soon began to make a negative impact in my life, in my soul, in my heart. By the age of 10, I was fighting all the time with other kids. I was a bully. I was failing at school. I wasn't getting any good grades. I was just a mess, and I had no aspirations for the future until I had an encounter with Jesus. When I was 12 years old, Jesus, he became my everything. He became my best friend, and he was my hero. He became my hero. And from then on, I began to dream again. I began to dream about having a good life and having a family and having kids. It was just so radical, the change that happened in my small mind. All of a sudden, I was inspired to pursue a good life. And I feel sad because, you know, in a way, I think that a lot of kids around the world are growing up without a lack of inspiration. And for that reason, they don't aspire to much. You see, inspiration always leads to aspiration. I think that one of the most inspiring films in the last few years was the Black Panther movie. In 2018, hundreds of thousands of young Black American kids were inspired by this Marvel movie whose main character, the main superhero in the movie, was Black. I remember watching the movie feeling so jealous because Latinos, we don't have anyone. We only have white luchadores like Nacho Libre. But who would like to be like Nacho Libre? Not me. I mean, I already have the body, but no thanks. Like the Apostle Paul, I want to be more like Jesus. You see, Paul's aspirational goal in life was to know Jesus better and better and to live in his way. That's why he said in Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So as I have mentioned before knowing Jesus, I didn't have aspirations in life. But once I met him, My goal has been to follow him, to learn from him, to imitate him. Now, if I'm honest, I haven't been as consistent with my calling as I'm supposed to. So I truly appreciate being reminded every now and then, like this morning, by the Apostle Paul, that our aspirational goal in life as followers of Jesus should be to know him and become like him. I think we all know that setting goals is important. It's important for life. Setting goals will help us to visualize where we want to go, who we want to become. The fact of the matter is that without goals, we have no objective focus as we move forward. Now, as we know, with some level of commitment and discipline and accountability, some goals can definitely be reached, can definitely be achieved. But aspirational goals are different. They are different because they set the bar quite high. You see, aspirational goals cannot be fully achieved, but they can be pursued. This is the goal. This is the kind of goal the Apostle Paul had. This is the goal the Apostle Paul pursued. Emmanuel Faith, are we pursuing this goal? I really hope we do. The Apostle Paul did. That's why he left his life of success in the past. And he traded it for a life invested in reaching what should be our aspirational goal as well. In the verses preceding our passage of study, Paul said, I want to gain Christ. I want to be found in him. I want to know him. I want to become like him. And today we're going to spend our time together considering Paul's description of the attitude of those who invest their lives reaching this aspirational goal. The first thing that Paul mentions is that those who live to reach this aspirational goal look forward to continue to grow in spiritual maturity. Something that is important to mention here before moving forward is that maturity is not necessarily the product of time and experience. For a person can live a long life and have a lot of experience and yet remain immature. The difference between a mature and an immature believer has to do with intentionality. Will you say with me intentionality? Let me put it this way. As believers, at the moment of salvation, we were just babies. We were spiritual babies. We were saved by grace through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. But faith is not only about an event. It's not only about a moment. Faith is not only about making the decision of inviting Jesus into our lives. That's just the beginning of our new life. Now we are to intentionally allow our faith to lead us into a life of obedience and constant spiritual growth. Or as Paul will say, to press on toward the goal. And in the proportion we press on, we mature. Paul says in verse 15, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. This is how mature people think. What Paul is saying here is that mature believers see their spiritual journey as a lifelong effort to win the prize for which God has called them. You see, mature believers are passionate about growth. They are passionate about taking risks. They won't mind changing the narrative, and they have the audacity to pursue our aspirational goal. And the aspiration of knowing Jesus and becoming like him is constantly changing their lives. Mature believers, on the other hand, they remain unchanged. There's nothing new in them. No transformation whatsoever. They might show up at church every single Sunday, but nothing is changing because they don't want to commit. They are too passive about their spiritual lives, and they are not willing to pay the cost of discipleship. We have received this salvation by grace as a gift from God. But sanctification, it will take us some effort. We will need to be fully invested. And I think that an easy way to evaluate our level of spiritual maturity is to consider the things that we value the most in life. What are the things that you value the most? I don't know if you have noticed, but little kids care a lot about things. They are obsessed with things. They don't like to share. Everything is mine. I don't think that we want to go through life acting and behaving like little kids. It's until we realize that life is all about people that we begin to grow in the Lord. So think about it. Are you pursuing things? Or are you pursuing meaningful relationships in life? I think that it's safe to say that when people become our highest priority in life, we have transitioned from adolescence into adulthood. You know, one of the things that I regret the most in my life is that I wasted 10 years of my life saying no to God in regards to his calling to me for ministry. I said no because I was pursuing things. And once I came to this country, I started to pursue what we call the American dream. And maybe like myself, you have said no to God multiple times, no to people in your past. If that's the case, maybe today is the day in which you leave your past behind and decide to move forward towards a better aspirational goal. And if we want to do so, we will need to welcome an in-process change of mindset. You know, something has to change. We cannot just keep doing the same things, expecting different results, right? Someone really smart said that. Something needs to change, and it needs to start changing here. You see, as infants in the faith, when we first come to Christ, we ignore a lot of things, and we are wrong about so many others. But as we continue to be exposed to the Word of God, little by little, the Holy Spirit begins to apply into our hearts that Word and begins to renew our minds. That's the in-process change of mindset that I'm talking about here. God has promised us that he will complete the work that he began in us, but it will take time. It won't be automatic. Our main job is to allow the wisdom and the knowledge of God to renew our minds and to allow the Holy Spirit to shape our desires and our passions. That's how change happens. That's how transformation happens. And as far as we have the desire and the willingness to change, there's going to be hope for us. Because I won't be the same tomorrow. I won't be the same next year. I'm lacking so much today about being a parent. But I promise you, next year, I'm going to be better because I'm going to spend my time invested in the presence of Jesus, and he can definitely transform my mindset, my behavior. Maybe I'm not the best of the best in a particular area of life, but wait for me a little bit. Be patient with me. Jesus is working. He's doing his job. And I'm being persistent. Paul knew it. He knew that there was hope for us. That's why he said in verse 15, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. You see, I don't need to be there already. I don't need to understand every single thing the Bible says. I don't need to be the best behaved individual in the world. But God will make clear things to me. He will continue to reveal himself to me. He will continue to do his work in my life. Imagine living a life of 80 or 90 or 100 years old. My goodness, that person will look just like Jesus. But for some of us, that's not reality. Even though we have been walking with him for a long time. You see, God is willing. He wants to do his work in our lives. And maybe we are not yet at the level of maturity that we will like to, but in time, we'll get there. We just need to move forward being intentional about reaching our aspirational goal. And part of being intentional in reaching this goal includes the willingness to follow the example of godly role models. Let me ask you, are you following the example of godly role models? We all need them. We all need them in our life. People of flesh and blood. It's good to read books. It's good to read sermons, to watch sermons on YouTube. But we need people around us from whom we could learn, because we don't know it all. Individuals who pursue our aspirational goals sacrificially, men and women who reflect the character of Jesus, who are worthy of imitating and who continue to press on toward the goal of winning the prize. Paul was this kind of model, of role model to the Philippians. And he urged them to follow his example. And he also encouraged them to consider men like Timothy and Epaphroditus as good role models. He told the Philippians in verse 17, "Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do." Follow my example. Now, at first sight, it might appear as if the Apostle Paul is being arrogant, but he's really not. He's really not. In fact, he's being a responsible disciple maker. Paul understood well his role. He himself was imitating Jesus, and for that reason, he was bold enough to challenge the Philippians to imitate him. In the past, Paul told the Corinthian church, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." And I think that that's quite impressive. I think that we should expect nothing but the best example from our spiritual leaders. With that said, if I'm honest with you, I don't think that I'm ready to ask you to follow my example. But I really will love to be able to do so at some point in my life. For that reason, about a year ago, I put aside my pride and asked a godly follower of Jesus if he was willing to become my mentor. And to my surprise, he said yes. That was amazing. That was fantastic. And I have to say that spending time with this godly man, a man with great experience has been really, really helpful. For God has used this individual in a profound way to make an impact in my life. And with this mentorship experience, I have been able to confirm that our aspirational goal can only be nurtured in partnership with other believers. There are a lot of things that won't happen if we are isolated, if we are on our own. As you know, our lives are shaped in great part by experiences. But those experiences don't necessarily need to be ours. We can definitely learn from others, you know, like from the good and the bad. We can learn from them. If you don't have a mentor, maybe is the time to start praying and looking around for someone willing to invest in your life, for someone willing to hold you accountable. Maybe there are some others here who, maybe for you it's time to start being a mentor, to become a mentor, to start praying to God to provide someone in your life who is willing and open to grow. I think that these kinds of relationships are probably more important than ever. You heard me right. These kinds of relationships are extremely important in this time and season in which we are as a society. Since even as believers, we are constantly bombarded by multiple negative voices around us. Voices of division, voices of injustice, of promiscuity, of greed, of hate, deceiving voices that try to distract us. And if we truly want to reach our aspirational goal, we need to do our best to silence those voices in our lives. And for that, we will need to establish boundaries with those negative influences. Over a week ago, millions of Christians around the world got offended during the 2024 Paris Olympics opening ceremony. My question to us is, why are we acting so surprised and disappointed? Haven't we realized that this is the world in which we are living now? Most people in this world are living as enemies of the cross of Jesus. And some of them are not shy about it. They are bold. They are committed. So, what do we expect? The reality is that the world doesn't care about Christ and his church. Paul knew this very well. Keep in mind that he is writing this letter from prison. He was proclaiming the gospel, and that was offensive to some, and now he is in prison. And as he was incarcerated, a group of false teachers were looking to deceive the Philippian church with their lies. So Paul knew how deceiving the world could be. Verse 18. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on early things. What pops out to me from this verse is the part that says, even with tears. Even with tears. With tears in his eyes, the Apostle Paul reminded the Philippians that many people in this world are living as enemies of the cross. And today, for sure, some of those enemies of the cross in our context are being quite vocal and somewhat aggressive, but we can't back down or be afraid. We cannot. On the contrary, we should continue to proclaim the truth of God in love. And we should do it with a sense of urgency. Because if those who are living as enemies of the cross don't repent, the wrath of God will come upon them. Again, Paul is writing this letter with tears in his eyes because he cared for them. Paul didn't want their destruction. He didn't want the destruction of those who didn't believe in Jesus. He wanted to reach them with the gospel. He wanted them to repent and to be saved. Most people in this world live as enemies of the cross because they have been deceived. They have been deceived. They don't have anything personal with us. They hate God. They hate Jesus. They hate the cross. Again, what do we expect? They have surrendered their lives to the desires of the flesh. They are pursuing the things of this world, and they take pride in their sinful acts because they are spiritually dead. We need to remember that that was our condition in the past before coming to Christ. We weren't better than them. So even if they don't care about us, even if they don't like us, even if they offend us, our urgent desire should be to reach them with the love of Christ. And this leads us to my last point. To reach our aspirational goal, we need to engage in God's kingdom agenda. You see, as followers of Jesus, we should share the same agenda. We should be willing to do whatever it takes to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should be all in, holding nothing back, with the understanding that we are part of the greatest cause on earth. Ours is a calling. Ours is the calling to be the most committed community in the history of humanity. And we have been doing it for 2,000 years. A community fully engaged in the agenda of the kingdom of God. A community of love, respect, compassion, mercy, and justice. A community that never stops moving forward, reaching in partnership our aspirational goal. For we cannot forget that we are the ones who said yes to Jesus. We said yes to him when he called us to leave everything behind and follow him. We weren't joking back then. I was 12 years old and I knew what I was doing. And I'm sure that you did the same. By saying yes, we became what was intended for us since the beginning. We are people who live under the ruling of God as citizens of heaven. Paul said in verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. I think that we still live in a country that values citizenship, right? I remember then that when I became a U.S. citizen, I took an oath of alliance to this country to serve when it required and to support and defend the Constitution. You see, most of you are citizens of the United States because you were born here. In my case, I choose to come here and made the decision to call this country my home. Regardless, Paul says that our citizenship is in heaven. He says that as we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we became citizens of heaven. In other words, we have to live with the awareness that as followers of Jesus, we are foreigners in this world. And being a foreigner, am I saying that word right? Yes. Would you say it with me, foreigner?
Foreigner.
Okay, exactly like that. Being what you just said is not easy. Because you have to deal with the tension of not feeling entirely at home. And because you have to deal as well with the tension of having others constantly reminding you that you don't belong. It's rough. It's hard to constantly feel that kind of tension. But it's okay, because in Jesus we have found our true home. And now our full alliance is to him and to his kingdom. Amen, amen, your faith.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much to those few of you who are super committed to the kingdom of God. Amen, amen, your faith.
Yes.
Absolutely. Our alliance is to Jesus. Our alliance is to his kingdom. A kingdom that has already been established in our hearts and that one day will be fully established on this earth when Jesus Christ returns from heaven. And on that day, the Lord, and on the day of the Lord return, when he returns, he will come to establish his everlasting kingdom. And that day, our aspirational goal will be fully becoming a reality, for we will be transformed, our sinful, he will be transforming our sinful bodies into glorious ones. As John, 1 John 3:2 says, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will know him as he is, and we will be like him. That's coming. That's happening. In the meantime, we have to do our best trying to reach our aspirational goal. We might not be able to achieve it in our own, in this world, but we must definitely continue to pursue it. And if you need some inspiration to keep pressing on, will suggest you to focus on Jesus, to learn from him, to follow him closely. That's what we need to do. For thousands of Black American kids, the Black Panther movie was so much more than just a superhero movie. For the characters in the movie inspired them to dream big and to walk in confidence. I love so much this picture. This is the point of my whole sermon. Is that clear enough? It's fascinating for me to see how a fictional character has the potential to inspire people this way. for Paul, for the Philippians, and for us? The inspiration comes from Jesus. He is a real hero. 2,000 years ago, Jesus stepped into human history. God himself took on flesh and blood. And when he walked among us, no one really understood what he was doing, what he was about. That's why we beat him. And we torture him. And we crucified him. Because we couldn't understand that God in Jesus Christ was preparing a glorious future for us. But now we do. Now we get it. Now we know that Jesus didn't stay in the grave and that he rose from the dead to give us everlasting life. That was his goal. And one day he will return to establish his kingdom here on earth as he has already established it in our hearts. Then our aspirational goal will be fully reached. We will know him fully and we will be like him, full of love, full of peace, full of joy. In the meantime, our aspirational goal shall provide us with direction and focus to live a great life, because following Jesus is a great thing. Inspiring others to aspire high in this corrupted world.
Thank you for listening to our service. We'd love to have you join us in person. For more information about our church and service times, please visit efcc.org. If you would like to support the ministries of Emmanuel Faith, you can do so at efcc.org/give.